Anaya Quinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matter shares its time slot with the WGTD Radial Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our topic today is homelessness in southeastern Wisconsin. Yes, again, but from a very, very different angle. Stay tuned. You're going to learn a lot, no matter which of the Tri-County area you live in, from our guests, who are today the Reverend Kathleen Gloff, president of Congregations United to Serve Humanity here in Kenosha. And Kathleen is the pastor at Summers Community United Church of Christ. A second guest, Karen Kempinen. She is a member of the Cush Unsheltered Homeless Task Force. She is co-director of Empower Uptown, and Karen is also a member of the coordinating committee of membership of the Poor People's Campaign. My third guest is Susan Patterson Sumwalt. She is a pastor at the First United Methodist Church of Kenosha, and she is also a member of the Cush Unsheltered Homeless Task Force. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Well, this is a very interesting group, and I want to just disclose up front that I'm also a member of the task force as a sort of an unpaid technical consultant on my professional fields of expertise. And I've worked with this group for some time, and none of us are going to represent ourselves this morning as the experts in the community on this topic. We have some great experts in this community, and we're going to reference them. Some of them are at the Shalom Center, some of them are at Women's Horizons, some of them are certainly at the County Department of Human Services, and the staff there under John Jensen are doing a terrific job with the limited resources that they have and the systems problems that exist not only in Kenosha but throughout the state and the nation, and we're going to talk about those. They're fighting against some tough odds, and part of the program today is to show how we have educated ourselves over the past 20 months or so about the issues of emergency homelessness and more chronic homelessness and affordable housing and how it's interlaced with poverty, of course. And we want to also share what we've learned in terms of resources on the web that have educated us, and we think that will educate the listeners to this program. So that's the spirit in which we're offering this this morning, and I want to first start with a little bit of a rendition of why homelessness is a problem right here in our Tri-County region. And we have two people here on the panel who have worked really very closely hands-on in Kenosha, and those are Karen Kempinen and Pastor Susan Patterson Sumwalt. Karen, I'd like to have you kick off. You've done a lot of work independently and with the Welcome Center at Grace Lutheran Church on 60th Street.
Well, I have to give some good news right away today. At the Grace Welcome Center on 2006 60th Street in Kenosha, we serve usually every Thursday and Friday between 60 and 100 people for breakfast, many of whom are homeless. And today, the good news is there were a number of people who needed shelter. Some people were sleeping literally outside in the cold last night. And the outreach workers from KIDS worked with the people at the Welcome Center, and we have built relationships with them through the Cush Homeless Task Force. And everybody that was seen today and put in touch with the outreach workers will have shelter tonight. So,
and that's being recorded. We're being recorded on 2 days earlier than broadcast, so that's referencing this past Thursday. And that's wonderful news, Karen. Thank you for bringing us up to date. Go on.
And the value of that relationship is that at the Grace Welcome Center, we have a gathering of people who are in need of services every week. So it's a good place to build relationships and to connect the people with services and to follow up to make sure that people are continuing to take the next steps. So we're very grateful for the relationships that have been built in the last year.
Susan, Reverend Patterson Sumwalt, you're at a downtown church, First United Church of Kenosha, 60th Street and Sheridan Road. So you have seen this problem from a number of levels. You want to talk about that?
I have, and I really appreciate, Len, that we're talking about this issue. I became really interested and started to become involved in issues of homelessness and sheltering because of what we experienced at First Church. On a weekly basis, we have different people who come into our congregation who are looking for some kind of assistance, and it continues to grow that they are looking for shelter. We have had everything from families with young children who are enrolled in our daycare program who are homeless. We have young adults who come into the church who are homeless. We have adults that have mental health illnesses that come in that are homeless. We have people who are unemployed, who have left the hospital with nowhere to go. And so the homelessness really reflects a variety of different life circumstances and affects and touches people of all ages that I've experienced.
Pastor Susan, if I understand what I hear from you and some of the other faith leaders in our communities, that you're saying that if I have an issue of the homeless person in my head, if I have that image in my head right now, it's wrong.
There is no image of someone who is homeless because we have had young adults, we have had families who have been working 2 to 3 jobs to try to provide for their children but can't afford housing. We have had persons with health issues. There have been so many different kinds of reasons and different ages and family configurations of people who have walked in our doors over these last 3 years that do not have a place to sleep when they come and walk in our doors.
Reverend Gloff, as president of Congregations United to Serve Humanity, you see a number of community issues, and this is one of them, and I know that you've been talking a lot lately about how these issues are interwoven, not only in Cush's approach, but also in the approach of the spiritual faith leadership in the state of Wisconsin. Now, tell us a little bit more about how Cush views this issue of homelessness and how it's being addressed around the state.
The issue of homelessness is central to most of what we do in Congregations United to Serve Humanity. We have task forces that are involved in transportation and education and immigration, as well as ROC, Restore Our Communities, which is a statewide movement to reduce the amount of incarceration in the state of Wisconsin. And all of those are touched by issues of homelessness. In addition, in the past, we've had task forces that have worked on mental health. And the mental health community in Kenosha County has done a survey this year and has determined that two of their biggest priorities are homelessness and mental health, and also having more inpatient beds in the Kenosha County area for mental health use.
Well, that's very encouraging. This is a national problem as well. And I think that that's probably one of the things that sometimes seems so daunting about it, that people think that there's nothing that can be done. But I would say that in the past 20 years, as we've been in the 21st century, we've made a lot of progress in Kenosha. I wonder if one of you would like to start off by commenting on what we've seen happen in Kenosha and what that arc of progress has looked like and what it is that you're all looking for moving toward in the future.
Can I address that?
Yes, Kathleen.
Way back several decades ago, there was an attempt, try to put a shelter into Kenosha. Of course, Shalom Center is doing a wonderful job, and Cush has worked hand in hand with the Shalom Center board all along in this process. We have a board member on Cush right now who was at the table originally getting the county and the city both to propose money for a homeless shelter. And that was the impetus, the start, the seed that got Shalom Center to where it was today. All along in that process, we have been working with the Shalom Center. when they wanted to stay in the Brass neighborhood, we went out and canvassed the neighborhood for them to get opinion from the residents that were there. When there was some reticence to put the shelter in certain parts of town, we went and spoke in front of the county, the city alderpersons, and reminded them that people were sleeping outside that night and it was freezing cold. And so we have been advocating in various ways over decades worth of time, and that has produced some wonderful partnerships with the people who are really knowledgeable about this issue and trying to get people out of their silos so that we can pool the resources and do best practices for the homeless people.
Karen.
And backing up a little further, in addition to the Shalom Center, housing people who that needed emergency shelter and providing the soup kitchen, the Faith Community provided the INS program, the original INS program, where people traveled from church to church at night, and shelter was provided for many persons who experienced homelessness. A little over a year ago, the Shalom Center moved to a permanent expanded home near the Transportation Center on 39th Avenue, and now the INS program is housed in one place, which is a great advantage, and services can be provided to the persons who are sheltered there much more efficiently in one place. Progress also in the 21st century is the addition of some emergency beds last winter. The county allocated some money to provide beds for persons who experienced chronic homelessness, mental health issues, and persons who were more difficult to serve. NAMI provided training to the Shalom Center staff, and so another population was able to be served beginning last winter.
This is Susan, and I'm the newcomer in this group, having been in Kenosha just these past 3 years. One of the continued additions has been the voucher system that Kids has found some funds to help put persons into motels when the beds are filled at Shalom Center and other resources are exhausted.
You referred to Kids. These are not animals. We're talking about Kenosha Human Development Services, just to cut through the initials.
Correct.
Thank you.
We get so used to using these acronyms. But one of the things that I've been really appreciative in the time that I've been here that I've noticed, you know, and Karen and Kathy and Len have certainly been part of the history and the development at serving this population over the years, but the passion and commitment of so many people in the Kenosha area to try to work together and try to serve and respond to all needs, and have been grateful for their accessibility, being able to have conversations and try to strategize to come to ways in which Kenosha and this part of southeastern Wisconsin, you know, can reflect the best that it possibly can as it cares for all people.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Can we back up to the vouchers a little bit and talk about that? The voucher program was something that developed in the last couple of years. Cush did a fundraiser, which is not typical for Cush. We are usually an advocacy group and not a service providing group. But we did a fundraiser so that the homeless could be sheltered. And most of the money from that fundraiser was used for hotel vouchers, which is a stopgap procedure. When there is no room, Kids does the assessment. Kenosha Human Services Development Services does the assessment. And when there is no available space at Shalom, then a voucher could be used for a night or two so that the person doesn't freeze to death out in the street. One of the things that we've encountered with the voucher system in meeting with John Jansen from the county and with Janine Fields and with people from Shalom Center is that the county is willing to fund that voucher program now, but in the same way that some neighborhoods have the not in my backyard mentality for having a shelter in their neighborhood, some of the motels and hotels have had the not in my inn mentality. It struck me kind of ironically. We just went through the Christmas season, those of us who are Christian, and the primary story was Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, and the refrain to them was, no room in the inn. And now our homeless people are experiencing that as well. And I'm sure that's not only Christianity. I'm sure every major world religion has that viewpoint of being ostracized, being not accepted, being pushed out of the way.
My guests this morning on Community Matters are addressing the issues of homelessness in southeastern Wisconsin. They are just speaking, the Reverend Kathleen Glough, president of Congregations United to Serve Humanity. She's the pastor at Summers Community UCC. Karen Kempinen, a member of the Cush Unsheltered Homeless Task Force, and the pastor Susan Patterson-Sumwalt, also a member of the Cush Unsheltered Homeless Task Force and pastor at First United Methodist Church of Kenosha. Let's move on. You've touched on some systems-level issues, by the way, Kathy, and I think we'll want to come back to those a little later. So what I'm getting from what all three of you have said is that we're not looking to blame people here. This is not really an issue of who's to blame. It's an issue of very complex, interwoven problems. If they weren't so complex, they would have been solved long ago. So what it behooves us to take a look at them, I think, on many levels. The emergency level of who's not going to freeze outdoors tonight, and then how are we going to help people get housing who may not be ready for it because of certain challenges they face? How are we to get the people who have lost a paycheck for 2 months or had a terrible medical catastrophe and have been ended up thrown out of their housing and very income insecure because of that? How do we help all of these people? But then how do we put them into housing if that housing does not exist? I was very interested to know that the UW Extension outreach officer, Amy Grial, wrote a very interesting piece, an opinion piece in the Kenosha News on November 23rd of the past year. And she points out that we have a terrible supply of housing in terms of its being affordability, and that we're in obviously a period of rapid economic growth, made even more rapid with Foxconn, because we were going to be the fastest growing part of the state long before anyone ever heard of Foxconn. And she says in her article, all of this makes me wonder, how can we manage community change proactively, deliberately, sensitively, and urgently with a diverse range of housing options? Boy, that's really summed it up well in one sentence, Amy. And that is one of the things that I think we want to also talk about a little bit later. Now, one of the things that we have learned in the past 2 years as we've delved more deeply into this is that people with special challenges require more resources and a plan and continued coaching or counseling. Karen has learned a lot about this, Karen Kempinen, and you are also informed by your career training and experience in special education. You want to talk to us a little bit more about the fact that not only does this affect people from all walks of life, but then there is a subcategory that is extremely important that deserves our care and humane resources.
Yes, thank you, Len. Of course, helping agencies are never funded the way some other kinds of agencies are, so resources are always limited. And the staff we have at Shalom Center, Kenosha Human Development Services, are incredibly dedicated and work really hard, but there are never enough of them to serve. One way that the community can help is to advocate that more money was put into state budgets to help agencies like that for more personnel. But one thing I discovered from volunteering at the Grace Welcome Center is that many of the persons have challenges that make it difficult for them to take the next step after their initial assessment by the outreach workers. They may have been having trouble even focusing on the conversation because of mental health issues. They may have had a crisis in their lives that made it difficult for them to focus. They could have special needs, special learning needs. They may have auditory processing problems, so they can't deal with just spoken information. And I learned that actually, like, detailed plans are not in existence right now, written plans for the persons after their initial assessment. So that's one thing that that we Cush volunteers have been talking with Kenosha Human Development Services and Shalom Center about, that if we had a very simple written plan, because so many people come to the Welcome Center every week, that would be a place where volunteers and paid staff could follow up and say, how did you do on the next step? If you weren't able to take that, what can we do to help you take that next step? So we're talking about paid and volunteer type case management. One thing we've learned is that for persons who have been living homeless for a while, it's very difficult for them to even envision a different life. People who have never lived in a homeless situation can't understand that. They would think that just, of course you want shelter, of course you want to, you know, follow whatever rules you have to follow to obtain shelter. However, that's the unknown, and it's very scary. And sometimes persons have been disappointed, not so much in Kenosha. We're very fortunate here with excellent services, but in some cities people have poured their hearts out to outreach workers and not received appropriate services, and so they start to shut down. And we've learned that sometimes it takes years of building relationships and encouraging people to take the next step. And then when they do, that we're there to support them and applaud their successes. And if there are some steps backwards, we're there all the time. Somebody is there to walk by their side as they move forward out of homelessness.
I think it's important to know that there are evidence-based practices. This isn't the 1900s anymore. It's in the last 20 years, there's been an enormous amount of research on effective methods of dealing with challenges of all kinds. The work that's being done in terms of autism right now is absolutely spectacular. And we hear things like trauma-informed care, asset-based coaching and assistance, appreciative inquiry in terms of a community's problems or an individual's problems, and evidence-based practices. I wonder if we might talk a little bit about what that means. And we have one of the great proponent models in the area at St. Emilion's. They're a big practicer of the evidence-based approaches and trauma-informed care, because a lot of the people we're talking about, even the middle-class family that's been thrown out of their homes because of an employment emergency or a medical emergency, they're all going through trauma of some kind as well during this process. I was very impressed by what you had to say, Karen. You want to pick up on that a little bit, Kathy?
Well, certainly the trauma is there, and it's intensified by the event of being homeless. That seems perfectly obvious to say, but we don't think about that, those of us who are not in that situation. But your body reacts to being homeless. Your body has a sense of trauma. You're constantly in that fight or flight mode, and that causes different continuing health problems, chronic health issues for people.
And it makes it hard for executive function to operate in terms of even doing the best things for yourself and following a plan. That affects that as well, we have learned.
It does. And there are different parts of your brain that deal with cognitive issues and that deal with trauma and store trauma. So many times people are that part of their brain that is storing the trauma flips up and enters into the picture at random times, and then that makes it hard to process what's going on, to make a plan. I'm glad that Karen talked about having written plans, because when you're not thinking about anything but the next 24 hours, it's hard to say, okay, I'll be at this appointment in 2 weeks.
I think most of us, certainly myself, I have a hard time if I'm in the hospital and getting a discharge plan. If I didn't have it in writing, I wouldn't know what it said the next morning because I'm in just too much stress at that point. And so I think that if you think about it in that way, you can maybe relate a little bit more to the plight of the individual as you were describing it, Kathy.
And I think that's why Housing First has become the predominant method of dealing with our national homeless issue and has become the method that we're seeking to use here in Kenosha and in the other counties. Housing First would be being able to put a person who is experiencing homeless into housing, not necessarily shelter. Shelter is a good stopgap procedure, and people are able to get their lives back together in shelter, and it's a wonderful program. But the idea that if I have a roof over my head, then I can go ahead and work on my job skills, my transportation issues, my mental health issues, my physical health issues, all of the things that I need to live a productive life, that all starts with knowing that I'm sheltered and have a roof over my head, and that's what Housing First does.
What I hear you saying, Kathy, is it really provides some stability for persons whose lives are very unstable. And, you know, when you're in a shelter, while you're grateful for the roof over your head, you don't know how long you're going to be there or what's going to happen next, or be able to start those plans for, you know, those next aspects of your life to be fully integrated into the community. And so having your own place allows you to have that very foundation and that sense of stability from which to grow and move forward.
Right. And our shelter here in Kenosha is wonderful, and they do a wonderful job. They have wonderful programs to lead people toward independence. But as you pointed out, Susan, it's different having your own shelter over your head and then being able to put those systems into place. And if you're already experiencing learning disorders or specific mental health or learning issues, cognitive issues, you would want to have some more control over your process and your approach. That would be helpful to you, rather than having someone say, here are the steps that you need to walk through. It's better to have Kenosha Human Development Services doing the intake and helping a person, making the connection with them, helping the person to set up their plan and saying, here's how we're going to address all of these issues, but first we're going to get you the shelter.
Karen.
Thank you. This is Karen. At this point, too, I'm reminded of the recent document that was published by the Wisconsin Interagency Council on Homelessness. And it's an excellent document that is very practical and specifies many strategies to prevent and reduce homelessness in our state. But one of the things that comes to mind listening to you, Kathy, is the plans that were specified in this interagency document on how to integrate the services and build relationships with the different housing opportunities in the community. There's recommendations that the agencies that serve persons who are homeless work more closely with the Department of Corrections, so to make sure that there's a better transition, integrating the ex-offenders into the community, also building stronger relationships with sober houses, advocating for more mental health services in the community so people can keep their housing. Many times persons can afford housing. They may have some type of income, but they have mental health issues that make it difficult for them to follow the protocol for living in community housing, and so having mental health services support people in the housing options also is important. Also, one thing I noticed that I think is very important in the document is for people in the community to speak out and encourage landlords to accept housing vouchers, because we do have some vouchers available to help people with housing costs, but again, many of the landlords, just like some of the hotel owners, are reluctant to accept the hotel vouchers. So again, we need persons to support the people when they're placed in housing so they can learn how to utilize that housing effectively.
It seems to me that one of the things we've learned is that homelessness is generally blameless, and that if you're looking at it from that sort of a judgment aspect, you're going to get it all wrong. It's sort of a 1900s way of looking at things, and the idea that housing is a reward for doing the first 20 steps in a program is also a 1900s way of looking at things. And in the 2000s, we've learned through evidence that the approach is housing first, so that person can integrate the resources needed to improve their lot, and most people do want to improve their lot, and that then the next step also becomes, do the systems allow for that? And one of the things that's important for us to understand is that asset-limited, income-constrained, employed, the so-called ALICE report, because of the initials, that the United Way's produced, that shows that in our tri-county area of Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties, about 45%, depending on where you are, of the population is either in federally defined poverty or near poverty, which is what the ALICE program attempts to define. And that is basically people who are one paycheck or two paychecks at the most away from not being able to meet their rent and afford their expenses. So that income insecure, food insecure population is huge. And affordable housing in the Tri-County area is rapidly disappearing, if it hasn't already gone away, hasn't it? What are you hearing from your constituents and parishioners?
It is a landlord's market, and landlords, in their quest to make money, will rent to the person they feel will take care of their property the best and be able to pay their rent effectively, all of those things. And we've noticed that there have been more evictions mid-month, and the evictions have been somewhat arbitrary in that the person has been paying their rent, but landlords will sometimes look for a better renter, and the market is so scarce for renters that landlords have that ability to do that.
I had the city planner on this program a few months ago, some of our listeners might remember, and I asked about affordable housing being constructed in Kenosha, in the city of Kenosha, and he said, Len, what you think is affordable housing is not affordable in the minds of the builders and developers and the architects. So he didn't have a solution. Housing is really a big problem, and it's an issue of what density will a community allow, what's the minimum lot size, what's the minimum house size, what are the codes. It's a complex problem, and I was so impressed to read some articles this fall and winter that the areas, the cities that are making progress are mainly doing it because they bring together high-level civic business realtors, the mortgage lenders, the pastors, the faith communities. They bring together the businesses, the business organizations, and they all work and look at systems-level barriers to affordable housing and taking care of the people who are looking for a place to live and want a place to live but are priced out of the market. I understand that here in our southeastern Wisconsin area, people are asking for 3 months up front which I would have been hard-pressed to do at just about any time in my professional career until I got into my 50s. First month, last month, well, now it's plus another month. Then you have to pay your utility deposits if you're just establishing credit. There's no end to it. How can you get into an apartment? Karen?
Well, and I'm struck by the new codes, the size of houses that are allowed. I live on the north side in a very well-built little house, and my house wouldn't be built now, and it's served our family well, but now houses have to be much bigger than the ones that were built some years ago. But those houses were adequate to raise small families or couples, and I think that it would be good for the city to look at the zoning ordinances and the size of lots, size of square feet in houses that are available. Also, of course, I'm intrigued by the tiny houses that were built in Racine for the veterans community. That has been quite a successful community, and I would sure love to see that, because we do see a number of persons who present as homeless who are veterans, some of whom are Vietnam veterans and who are living homeless. And so that's an interesting idea also.
And not far away, Rockford, Illinois, back in 2015, they were honored for having a functional number of zero for homeless veterans because of the aggressive program that they put together. Well, just to ride my hobby horse for a minute, indulge me, I just have a feeling that we've got enough smarts here in the Tri-County area with the universities, the colleges, the technical colleges, and the people of goodwill, and our professional staffs in our not-for-profit agencies and governmental agencies. I think we're smart enough to figure out how to make a real step forward on these issues, particularly the more difficult systems levels issues, as well as the immediate emergency housing issues, if we think and work and act together. And I see an absence of that, and I call on and have called on the county executive, the mayor, and the United Way to convene a high-level study commission to talk about it and make recommendations. Am I totally fanciful and crazy, or just a little bit? What do you think, Pastor Susan?
Well, I don't think that you're crazy at all. I think if there was one theme that has been part of our conversation, is been a theme of complexity. And there have been so many issues that intertwine with the issue of homelessness that it takes persons from a wide variety of sectors to be able to come together to solve it. It's not, one department or one area, I think, that can find the solution to this issue. And I suspect I look back, to the time in which many communities, built housing for World War II vets and came back, and that they needed housing. And people came together and found a way to make that happen and to provide housing for them in similar kinds of ways. I believe that we can do the same for our homeless.
Karen?
I'm also thinking about a recent Facebook post I saw by the Uptown Brass Village group. It's a group of merchants and other interested parties that are advocating for development of the Uptown Brass area in Kenosha, and they just just posted an article talking about how we need to start 2019 planning to meet the needs of all community members. So that's very exciting to hear. And also, going back to the Wisconsin Interagency Council on Homelessness document, they also mentioned that communities should develop a model for regular community meetings. So community members, all people who are interested, should come together on a regular basis to plan for these kinds of improvements.
I think we don't want to close before we also note that in all of our counties, individuals have sprung up and done amazing things. There have been a number of individuals. Arnetta Johnson comes to mind. Melvin Gordon comes to mind, and others that I can't think of off the top of my head. And these works need to be held up and celebrated. But they're also, as important and wonderful as they are, they're indicative of the fact that we don't have community-wide solutions, because these efforts, individual yeoman efforts, wouldn't be necessary otherwise. I'd like to let our listeners know how they can help in the future. And one of the things that they can do is to volunteer for the Point in Time Count of the Homeless. And you can find more about that if you just put point in time in your browser and say Kenosha County and Kenosha City. You'll get information, or contact the Kenosha Department of Human Services. People can learn and advocate. And I'll be posting, along with the archives for this program, which will be available sometime after the 8th probably, if not before, some information about homelessness is being addressed in other communities, and also a report that is a meta-study that shows that high economic activity like we're experiencing in southeastern Wisconsin is not a cure for poverty in a community, and that this meta-study showed of cities all across the country, coast to coast, border to border, that rapid economic development produces a host of really wonderful things, which we will all cherish, but it also increases poverty, increases income disparity, and increases homelessness, unless you get together and figure out how to address it first. With respect to housing, the National Low-Income Housing Coalition Out of Reach report shows how out of reach housing is for so many people. The asset-limited, income-constrained, employed report of the United Way of Wisconsin, which reports in great detail on our area. I'll post a link to that. And also to the report that Karen mentioned of the Wisconsin Interagency Council on Homelessness that was put together by the outgoing administration of the state. Well, I'm going to go around the table and ask each of you for your final hope for the next year, for 2019. What do you hope you accomplish in 2019? President Glof?
I hope that the homeless task force won't be needed anymore, because we will have sat down at the table, all of the people that need to be there. We will have pressed our representatives in government, and we will have found the solutions to get people housed and go in a better direction.
Reverend Patterson-Sumwalt?
I think Kathy said it extremely well. I will agree to what it is that she said, and she couldn't have said it any better.
Karen Kempinen?
And I want to also especially support the idea of citizens contacting their state representatives, because now is the time the budget is being put together for our state, to make sure that money is allocated to support the good ideas in the Wisconsin Interagency Council on Homelessness report.
Thank you all very much. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, encouraging you to get informed and get involved, just like my guests, Reverend Kathleen Glof, Karen Kempinen, and Pastor Susan Patterson-Sumwalt. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. Their new year is filled with seasonal delights, including a lemonberry French toast for breakfast and a veggie and grain rainbow bowl for lunch. Also, their famous chocolate malts, jackandrea.com.
Support comes from the Lake Geneva Symphony, whose annual gala at the Grand Geneva, Saturday evening, February 16th, is presented by Ulla Brunk. Enjoy dinner, auction, and dancing with the symphony's swing band. For tickets, visit lakegenevaorchestra.org.
Hi, I'm Bob Tenuta of the Gateway Radio Reading Service. We volunteers read the local newspapers to the visually impaired over the radio. Would you like to do the same and not having to move one toe out of your home? Call me at 564-3870.
Support.